Hey, podcast listeners, it's Emily Tatum, and on this episode, I celebrate International Women's Day with Clear Edge's CEO, Leslie Vickery. Hi, everyone, this is Emily Tatum, and today is International Women's Day. International Women's Day is a day to celebrate women's achievements throughout history and across the world. It's also a day where many female leaders take the stage to discuss opportunities and challenges women face today, such as equal pay, education, women in the media, etc. In honor of International Women's Day, I'm interviewing Clear Edge's CEO, Leslie Vickery. Leslie, thank you for speaking with me.
Thanks, Emily.
Now, for those affiliated with Clear Edge, we know you as Clear Edge's CEO, but what some might not know is that you have a profound passion for advancing women in business and technology, and that you are the co-founder of an organization called ARA. Tell us about ARA.
Sure. Thank you. And thanks for hosting this podcast. Mm-hmm. Such a special day that is meaningful to me and many people around the world. First of all, I co-founded ARA with two of my best friends, Megan McCann and Jane Hamner, and we did this in an effort to help women specifically in technology. So ARA stands for Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. So we really look to help women who have already made the decision or are thinking about going into technology. So they are typically around 3 years in their career. And our intention was to help them stay within technology and advance in technology, and to do that through two different things. One, just through mentoring and having access to networks that maybe they didn't have access to before, as well as attending our events. So through the events, they can hear and learn from a lot of amazing speakers who will share with them their own life stories, and hopefully the women, you know, walk away learning something that they can take away and put into action for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. That's incredible. I think that definitely has a large impact on many women's lives. So I want to take a step back. When did your passion for helping women in business and technology begin?
Sure. I think many people who have actually heard me talk before I kind of hone in on a theme that is that it takes generations to make change. And I focus a lot on talking about my dad's mom, and so my grandmother Vickery and her sisters who had come over from Lebanon, and when they came to the U.S., they actually used to sell sheets and then Catholic girls' school uniforms and so forth door to door. They were, you know, looking at a way to enterprise within the United States and make a living for their families as they grew and you know, first in Indiana and then in Detroit. And they ended up opening multiple clothing stores throughout Michigan, and I grew up in the stores. So my dad then took them over with his brothers, and my sister Jennifer and I kind of saw how those worked, and our other sisters, Vicki and Lindsay. And I talk a lot about that. So growing up in an entrepreneurial family with very strong-minded and willed women, and that's how I came into this. But I will tell you something that I don't talk a lot about is the fire in me, and the reason why this is so critical to me is actually my mom's mom, my Grandma Gerby. And this is where it really comes from, you know, generations to make change. And, you know, something always stood out to me when I was growing up. She has the voice of an angel. She had the most amazing voice, and she would sing in church and, you know, just sing all the time in the car if she was driving, or, you know, just throughout the house, whatever it was, she was singing. And she had told me a story about when she was younger, she had an opportunity to sing professionally on the radio. And she had to turn the job down because at that time in her life, you know, she was a mom raising young children. And my grandpa had basically said, you know, well, you can't go to work. You have to be at home. You've got to take care of everything on the home front. And it's something that really stood out to me because it was a regret in her life and something that she had told me when I had started my own company, and she had just reached out to me one day and called me and just said, you know, how proud she was of me. And she just said, always remember to live your life. And those words just always kind of rung true to me, to think, my gosh, this woman who had such a talent, and believe me, I wish I had this talent. I love to sing. I do not have her voice. My voice is that of an angel. Let's just put it that way. But she had a gift and wasn't able to share that gift. And it really bothered me growing up that she wasn't able to do that. And I just think about all of, you know, the women who didn't have the opportunity to do something that they always wanted to do. And it frightens me to think about how just within, you know, not that long ago, women could not even vote. And so I feel like with each generation, we're able to make more and more change. So when Jane and Megan and I stand up on stage at ARA events, you know, we're in 6 locations, 2,500 women engaged, and men and women, by the way, it takes men and women working together to make this change, not just women. We're standing up there to be this generation of helping the next generation make a change and then encouraging them to continue to have their children make change and so on and so forth. So I would say it's my mom's mom, my grandma Gerby, who really inspired me. And then, you know, I grew up in a house. My mom was the CEO of multiple credit unions and was really a strong woman in the workforce. And, you know, all of those influences had really inspired me on both the entrepreneurial side, but also just on the making a difference side.
Yes, definitely. I completely agree with you that it takes generations to make a change. And so what would your hope be for the next generation then? If you had one hope for making a change that the next generation would be able to live, seeing how your grandmother, you know, her hope for you was that you were able to live your best life where you were living out your passions. And you are, from, you know, all the accomplishments that I've been able to see you achieve. What do you think your hope would be then for the next generation?
Yeah, it's funny because, as you know, I have a 11-month, almost 12-month-old boy, and I've had a couple people say to me, well, gosh, if you had a girl, she could have really helped make a difference. And I thought, I actually feel the opposite. I feel like having a boy, he's going to see what it's like to grow up in a household where parents are equals. You know, we're each wearing, my husband Colin and I, the same hat. You know, there's not dad as the disciplinarian, or dad comes home and mom has the meal waiting on the table. Trust me, that does not happen in this house. Starve. But that being said, I feel like that the whole, and this is a little bit utopic, but the equality piece where it just isn't a question. It just is that we're equal. We're paid equally. We have equal opportunities for employment, equal in everything, you know, that we do would be what I would hope for future generations. But I realize that, you know, that's going to take time, and just change. And, you know, it's going to take, men and women both stepping up to make that change and really think about where it starts. And another topic I'd like to focus on is how it can start in the home with little children and, you know, having them, see parents as equal. Two people I've heard talk on that topic really resonated with me. One was Sharon Snyder, who had co-founded Moxie Jeans and ended up selling it. And someone had asked her during an R event, you know, when you asked your husband for permission to start, what did he say? And she was dumbfounded. Like, what do you mean, ask my husband for permission? I didn't have to ask him, you know, for permission. We're equals. And we change C-level hats at home all the time. You know, if I'm the tutor for the week with the kids, I'm the chief learning officer. Maybe he's the chief chef. And I'm the chief, you know, whatever, cleaning officer, whatever that may be. We all change, you know, our roles at home, but our kids see us as equals. And that really resonated with me. And then Sarah Spain, who many of you may know from ESPN, she also spoke at an ARA event. And, you know, one of the questions was, how do you handle it when someone says to you, why, you know, how could you possibly cover sports? You're a woman, you're a girl, you don't get sports. And she's, you know, if you read about her, she's one of the most accomplished athletes, high school and collegiate. And, you know, she has a lot to say and a lot of interesting things to say and be heard. But her comment on that was, well, it never even dawned on me that I couldn't be a sports reporter because the way I grew up in my house, you know, boys and girls, we were, my brothers and sisters, we were all treated, you know, equally. My parents were peers and we were treated equally. So when you think about at home with, you know, different curfews, different chores, different responsibilities for children, you know, there are things that we can all do even on the home front to start making that difference now.
Definitely. And what would you say are the biggest challenges that women in business and technology are facing today?
I think confidence, you know, we talk about confidence a lot, and Megan McCann, one of the our co-founders, was just speaking at a General Assembly event a couple weeks ago, and she was talking about how fear can get in the way of making decisions, and, you know, fear can really cripple you, and a lot of times it stems from a lack of confidence. So, and I see it all the time where someone will talk about a role that they're, you know, wanting to apply for, but gosh, you know, they're asking for 10 years and I only have 8. But if it's, you know, if that's a woman, she won't apply for it. And if it's a guy, it doesn't matter. He's going to apply for it whether or not he's qualified. He just has this confidence about him to do it. And I hear that more and more often, women afraid to negotiate salaries, you know, just afraid to say something because if I negotiate that, what if I don't get it? You know, what if they don't hire me? And, you know, I feel like if you don't ask, and this is where, you know, from an opportunity standpoint, if you don't ask, you won't get yes. And I think the challenge is the confidence piece. And the opportunity is, you know, feel good about the skills you bring to the table. You know, you got the interview because you're really good at what you do, and possibly you had someone help you get that introduction and network in there. Be confident that you're there for a really good reason, and, you know, be fair to yourself. What would make you feel whole in what you're doing? And, you know, ask for it, because if you don't ask, again, you won't get yes. And that was another tip someone gave a speaker at an ARA event that I know has resonated with a lot of people. You know, so you get no, but at least you asked. A lot of times you're actually going to get yes and be surprised that you did, but it'll help you build that confidence to keep doing that more and more.
Right. Do you have any, you know, sometimes it's hard to build that confidence and take a big leap, like asking, you know, for the raise or just asking for the interview. Do you ever recommend starting small, like in everyday practices, just starting small to build the confidence to set yourself up so that it's almost a no-brainer, that you have the confidence to ask the bigger questions?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, just, and this surprises some people, like sometimes you'll see me wearing a necklace with a little key on it, and it stands for confidence is key. And I'll wear it on certain days where maybe I'm not feeling great, or I know I have a big presentation, or I just want a gentle reminder that, you know, I need to be confident in what I do. And people will say, well, you seem so confident, you come across so confident. Like, everyone has a day where maybe they don't feel, you know, fantastic, or you know you need to take care of yourself. So a couple things is just to be aware of yourself and to know kind of what makes you tick as a person personally with your friends and family, and then professionally, and to find that trigger point that makes you not feel confident. And it's really hard for people to find that. And I find that it often stems from, it could be something in childhood that a parent said to you before and it just has stuck in your head, or that a student in school said to you and you can't get it out of your head, and it carries with you for a lifetime in some cases. So I think just working on yourself and taking care of yourself all the time and being self-aware is really important. And it's hard to find that time to do that. But I will say that the more you can take care of yourself and be aware, that the better opportunity you have to be confident. And that's little things like sleep. If it's working out, whatever that thing is for yourself, to do it. The other thing is, you know, I'm a big proponent, obviously, with Aura, of mentoring or having a good network of people you can turn to role play or ask questions. I happened to be at the gym yesterday, and someone came up to me, and she had saw me speak at an event before, and she said, you know, I have this question for you. And it was about getting an increase in her pay. And she role played with me literally in between workouts and was like, thank you so much. This is so helpful. I really appreciate it. And I was like, hey, no problem. So if you build a network, and, you know, I know it's hard. Trust me. If, you know, you have your day job, your families, your friends, a life that you need to stick to. But I will say that having those connections and people you feel comfortable role playing with, whether it be a formal mentor or not, is important. And there are groups like the Chicago Innovation Awards has a really great women in mentoring co-op program. I've been a mentor now. This will be the second session. And I've really enjoyed spending time with the mentees and helping them. And quite frankly, they help me as much as I help them. So it's something that if you find the right connections, it can really help you. So I would say, you know, take care of yourself. Really take care of yourself, because the clearer your mind is and the stronger you are, the more confident you can be. And build a network and really just ask for help. Be comfortable role playing and seeing what other people do and learn from their experiences to help you advance as well.
Right. And you touched on communities and networking. How does this all relate to the staffing industry with women?
So I, as you know, our company, ClearEdge, we focus quite a bit on both the technology side. So we do full service marketing for tech companies, but also have a heavy background in recruitment and HR tech and recruiting firms. And I like to parlay, you know, what I see across industries into the staffing industry. And we've sponsored the Women's Luncheon for TechServe for the past, gosh, 8-9 years now. And every year I love remaking those connections with women who are there and talking to them and helping them. But I would say it's the same thing. You know, it transcends across industries, the challenges that people have and the confidence that they need to build. It doesn't matter if you're in technology or staffing or financial services or the restaurant industry. A lot of what you run into are the same exact challenges. You just may not realize to the extent that they are similar. So I would say in staffing, it's the same thing, to make sure you have, you know, a strong network. It can be tough, you know, coming up in the industry, and I love it. I've been part of it for so many years now, over 20 years. You know, it's having the confidence and building a network. And, you know, you start as a recruiter, then you go into sales in most companies. And then, you know, after that, it could be management. You know, you really just have to learn from those who are great, and not just results great, but really good leaders. And the staffing industry has a lot of women. In fact, we feature a lot of them on our blog and Women in Staffing Wednesday. And there's a lot you can learn just by, you know, watching and learning from others in the industry.
Do you have any women in the industry that you look up to? I know that you probably have many, but any in particular?
I do. Oh, my gosh. I have a long list of women who I look up to, and it continues to grow. And a lot of men, too. I mean, that's something to think about, that, you know, in tech and in staffing, you know, two fairly male-dominated industries, a lot of my mentors are actually men and women, you know, both of them. But over the years, the likes of, you know, Amy Vasquez, Anna Frazetto, Denise Olson, there have been a lot of women who have helped me throughout my career, from my mid to late 20s to today. Not only just advice and being by my side to help me through some interesting situations, but also just to watch and learn from. Anna Frazetto is one of the most successful women in business. She can talk tech, she can talk business. She's a phenomenal speaker. She's excellent in front of the C-suite. She is just smart. She's really funny. She's great to hang out with. Like, she's just all around a great leader. And I always feel like the more time I have with her, the more I learn and grow. So I do think, you know, surrounding yourself throughout your career with different, you know, people who can help you at different stages is really, really important, because, you know, you're either growing within your career and, you know, every day trying to learn new things from different people. And it's really important to surround yourself by those you want to be like. If you're working with or surrounded by people who you don't really respect or can't learn from, then, you know, you probably want to find something new.
Right. I think it goes back to you are the sum of the people that you surround yourself with. I think there's a specific number too, like 5. But the fact of it is that we are normally with people that we work with the most. So I agree with you in surrounding yourself on a day-to-day basis with people who could have a great impact on your life. And Leslie, how are you celebrating International Women's Day?
That is a really good question, and I am super excited to be celebrating it on a couple fronts. First of all, we have an event for ARA in Seattle, so I'm really happy that we were able to pull off an event on the same day, which is terrific. But I personally will be at 1871 in Chicago. There's a panel called Resting Boldface, and when we look at women who I really look up to, it's Resting Boldface, Powerful Women Who Lead by Example. Sandy Castrol, who's the president and co-founder of IC Stars, is on the panel. Those of you who know me, I'm not exactly a morning person. Having a young child has kind of forced me into it. But I will be at the morning breakfast, and I will actually be with someone I am newly mentoring, and her name is Reva Minkoff. And we are going to go to the event together and then have our first session right after that. So that is through the Chicago Innovation Awards Women Co-op Mentoring Program for the Chicago Innovation Foundation. And I'll say what makes me really excited about it is I can learn in the morning from terrific women and just be part of what I know will be an inspiring and just exciting event with lots of energy. So that is really makes me excited about the day. And then also to spend time with someone who I can help, and a fellow entrepreneur who I hope to be able to help with her career and her business as well. Having those two things is great. And you know what, just to reflect on life and the women who have been special to me, both family and professionally and friends, I'll certainly be taking advantage of that as well.
Wonderful. And for anybody who is interested in learning more about ARA or being able to get in touch with you, how do you recommend that?
Oh, thank you. That would be ARA. You can go to our website, which is aramentors.com. And mainly right now it's for events. So we have a couple of events coming up in Chicago and, as I mentioned, Seattle, and keep an eye out for more events to be announced soon. And then in regards to getting in touch with me, feel free to always drop me a line. You can reach me at lvickrey, again, that's V-I-C-K-R-E-Y, at clearedgemarketing.com. And you can always follow me on Twitter at lvickrey as well. And I hope you do, and I hope to engage with all of you. And Emily, thank you so much. This was really fantastic. Great job.
Thank you, Leslie. I really appreciate you sharing your time today.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.